whatever issues that you're getting challenged, if you're not getting paid or you're not getting raised enough by your boss, if your family is saying you cannot do that, if you're anything, whatever, you can wait for others to come and save you. The truth is, we see things as we are. We do not see things as they are. In other words, this is a saying, not mine. A man does not notice often discrimination against women when he just doesn't know what that means. So you can't wait for someone else to save you. You stand up, you speak up, you say this is what I want, and you demand for it, and you walk it. The longest part of my life, I thought someone else is going to do it for me. Someone else will notice and will give me my rights. Someone else. All change happens. All change is when people own it, stand up, and take it. And that includes women's rights. And that includes my right as an individual woman.
You mentioned demands, and you spoke about anger. Is there a place for anger in feminism?
It's so interesting. I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with the word anger or even with the emotions anger. I think of anger as an ignition of fire. It is the match that ignites the fire. You use it only to light the fire, but not to fuel the fire. In other words, you know, because if anger becomes you, then that's dangerous. Then you lose yourself in the fire. It consumes you. But you use it to ignite and say, this is wrong and this is injustice and I am upset about it and I'm going to stand up and talk about it. That's our constructive use of anger. Let anger not be the issue. The issue is how do you use an emotion? Same with love. It could be sincere. And it could be insincere, just I love you, but you really don't mean it. So any emotion, it has its own shadow and its own light. Rather than be afraid of the emotion itself, whether it's anger or love or hate or kindness or whatever it is, look at how it is used and how it is used constructively to move it forward. So I personally have no issues with anger as long as it's used constructively. But I have issue with anger when it overconsumes the person and they become the anger themselves, and then that's when you lose perspective. So women or men, it doesn't matter. People have right to be angry at injustice.
You're talking about self-perpetuating stereotypes. So the idea that if you tell someone they're angry and violent, or you tell someone that they're weak and oppressed, then they become that thing. How do we break these stereotypes? How do we change the conversations we're having and connect with people who are falling prey to them?
I ask these questions all the time to myself. It's frustrating because you keep on saying and talking, and sometimes people, their own perception is their own perception. So there's a Sufi saying that you try to light the candle. When the candle's body is wax, it's lightable. You can light it. But sometimes the candle's body is not wax, it's metal. In other words, so you can't light that metal candle. Try, show up, speak up, tell your truth all the time. But don't be attached to outcomes. Some people will hear you and some people will not hear you. It's okay. Your job is not to convince everyone. Your job is to show up and speak up because of your values and because of your own compass, not because you're trying to make everyone feel the same way as you do.
How can the media improve its reporting to become more nuanced in reporting stories about Islam?
I actually think the media has to have a lot of self-reflection, and I am particularly pointing out that liberal media to have a self-reflection of how it has contributed negatively, you know, to Islamophobia. And a lot of times, especially in America right now, and part of the world, there is us and them. They are like that. And the us and them is not Muslims, conservative and liberals, and everyone is pointing the finger at each other within their own family and within their own country. And rather than saying, how did I contribute? Like, you know, like a recent Lutheran pastor that I met, he said, maybe I have contributed to Islamophobia unwillingly, without knowing. So take ownership of it. Create space for a dialogue. Cover positive Muslim voices. Don't only cover the terrorists. They are brilliant Muslim voices out there. They have zero platform, zero. In order for us to really understand Islam, we need to understand what the moderate Muslims, what the young Muslims, what the women Muslims, what the men Muslims are saying, not only the ones we're talking that fulfill our own stereotypes of what Muslims are. And that's what the media is doing. So it needs to take some steps to actually create positive space for the non-terrorists to speak up.